Dive into the start of summer at Whole Foods Market. Check out their summer splash event with sales on fresh organic produce, organic strawberries, and a fan favorite sale on Ben & Jerry's and Talenti. Explore deals on grill-friendly meats like organic air-chilled chicken breast, beef and chicken kebabs, all with no antibiotics ever from our meat department. Plus, grab easy sides from prepared foods and cool off with refreshing drinks. Kick off your summer and shop in store or online at Whole Foods Market today.
This is the Cleveland Sports Beat Podcast with James Rapine and Daryl Ryder on 92.3thefan.com.
What up and welcome into another edition of the Cleveland Sports Beat Podcast. I'm James Rapine. He's Daryl Ryder. We are your beat writers for 92.3 The Fan, 92.3thefan.com. We got a ton on tap for today's show. Plenty of Browns conversation as they're 1-2 reeling a bit. We'll talk about Freddie Kitchens, Baker Mayfield, and so much more. Plus, the Indians making their push for the playoffs. We're recording this on Wednesday morning, which means Jose Ramirez not only back in the lineup, but he had a career-high 7 RBI last night. We'll talk about some tie-breaking scenarios and more Indians playoff-wise. A quick reminder, you can subscribe to this podcast wherever you get your podcasts, including iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, and the Radio.com app. Whatever platform you're using, be sure to leave us a 5-star review so more Cleveland sports fans can find this podcast. Make sure you're keeping it locked at 92.3thefan.com as well. There's a ton there on the Indians, on the Browns, and so much more. Cavs, as we're just a couple weeks away, we'll have plenty of Cavs stuff as well when the NBA gets here. But Daryl, let's start with the Browns because it was a big game. You could argue the biggest game at First Energy Stadium in 20 years. Right? In the Browns, they go up against the Rams, they have their struggles, and now it seems like, especially on offense, defense looked good, but it seems like everyone's counting the Browns out. I saw them at one point, and this might have changed, but they were 7-point underdogs against Baltimore this week, which I think is sort of funny. You cover the team, you're in that locker room. But my first question is, are they staying together? Because I think that's one thing outside looking in, people were worried about, is this team falling apart given the tough schedule early on, given the Odell Beckham Jr. and the Jarvis Landry and the Baker Mayfield? You know, there's egos, no doubt about it. And you have a first-year head coach. What's the vibe like right now in that locker room given the shaky start, especially on offense?
Well, I think the vibe's fine right now. What's the vibe, though, going to be going into the bye week? Because after the trip to Baltimore, you got to go to San Francisco. Then you come home from Seattle. None of those games are gimmies. None of those games are real particularly easy. They could easily, though, go into that bye week 1-5. They could also go into the bye week 3-2, or I should say, you know, 4-2. They could win all their games as well as lose them. This is a very tough team to figure out right now. They've got the talent to win. We've talked about that ad nauseum. What they need is their head coach to get a clue. With all due respect to Freddie Kitchens, there's no on-the-job training here, pal. There's no patience to wait for you to figure things out. You were hired to know what you're doing and to win football games. You're not building anything. It's been built. Now, you might be building a culture behind the scenes, but don't sit there and tell me how the organization's building. They're not building. It's built. The team's built, ready to win. So go out and win games. It's that simple. We don't have time for you as a head coach to figure it out, plain and simple. But the locker room, I think, right now is fine. That's not a concern. Ask me in a couple weeks if they happen to lose a couple of these games. And like I said, they could easily go into the bye week 1-5, but they could also go into the bye week at 4-2 because they have that kind of talent. It's just not shown up on the offensive side of the ball just yet. I don't think they know what they're doing.
Ravens on Sunday, San Francisco 49ers the following Monday on Monday Night Football, and then Seattle. I mean, it's tough. Are you talking about an undefeated 49ers team? We obviously know Lamar Jackson and the Ravens, what kind of challenges are going to be ahead there. And then obviously Seattle's a really good team with a future Hall of Fame quarterback. So yeah, but before the bye week, those are three. They're all winnable. I think all three games are winnable. at the same time,
they're all losable.
Correct. And when you're 1-2, you're reeling a bit, and the microscope is on you. That's the thing. It's much different when you're, and we're going to talk about the Indians. No one expects the Indians to do anything. No one. The expectations are gone. And even though they've won more games this year, now as we sit and record this, 93 wins to the 91 they won last year, the fact that they've had all the injuries, people are just like, yeah, well, the Astros are that damn good, and the Yankees are really, really good, and maybe you'll make it, maybe you won't. But the Twins, you know, they hit a bunch of home runs. You know what I mean? Like, they're considered the underdog. And right now, the Browns aren't, and they're taking every team's best punch. Like, the Rams didn't take the Browns lightly. It's a testament, honestly, that the Browns had a chance to tie that game with as bad as they played on offense in the final minutes. Because on offense, it was awful. It was awful, awful. I think it's too early for me to take a victory lap. But remember when I said I was concerned about Freddie Kitchens, first-year head coach? I was concerned that they weren't going to go out and get a veteran. I said Bruce Arians. I like the idea of him, and he had his gaffes for Tampa Bay. So who knows? These coaches, by the way, I have no idea what the hell they're thinking half the time. Anyways, I wonder if Freddie Kitchens is going to figure it out. You know, like, usually you flash. Like, it's been 3 weeks.
I'll say this. There
hasn't been a game where he's flashed offensively. You know what I'm saying? Like, there hasn't been a game where it's like, oh, that was a damn good call by Freddie Kitchens. Like you see that with all different types of coaches. McVay's one, obviously, he flashed early on for the Rams. Like, you usually can tell within a couple of weeks. We haven't seen that with Freddie.
Well, his supporting cast is a little different than it was a year ago when he was the offensive coordinator, and maybe Bob Wiley was onto something. That's all I'll say.
You think so? Are you buying into that?
Yeah, I am.
I don't know, man. Here's the thing, because the Ken Zampezi,
I've talked to a lot of people about what went on last year.
Let's be direct. Ken Zampezi, here's why I think they could be missing.
Did you notice who Baker mentioned first when he was asked on Mike Tirico's interview leading up to Sunday Night Football about last year and the turnaround? It wasn't Freddie Kitchens. It was Ken Zampezi. Then Baker said, but Freddie was my choice to be the head coach. Even though the organization didn't ask me and that's not my role, Freddie was still my choice to be the head coach. But the first person he credited, Ken Zampezi.
So here's the thing. Ken has a history, and I covered him in Cincinnati, of working with young quarterbacks, worked with former number one overall pick Carson Palmer early in his career, got a lot out of him. Pre-injury, Palmer was the man. He was great, if people remember. Same thing with Andy Dalton. Early on, he got a lot out of a second-round pick that people weren't expecting much out of. He's a great quarterback coach, especially with young quarterbacks. That's what he's proven. He's a bad offensive coordinator with the Bengals, got fired, ended up on Hugh Jackson's staff as the quarterback's coach again, and that's what he's good at. So the question, to back up your point, if you're Freddie Kitchens, why wouldn't you have just kept Ken Zampezi on your staff, who's not in the NFL now? He's got a coaching job down in Florida.
Two reasons.
To be a quarterback's coach. Like, that, it makes no sense not to.
The loyalty to Hugh Jackson that maybe Zampezi had could have potentially been an issue.
Yeah.
And also flapping the gums to the media behind the scenes. Freddie Kitchens did not want coaches talking to reporters behind the scenes, because what has been a problem for the Browns for years and years and years, all these anonymous sources telling the tale of just what a cluster F everything is behind the scenes.
That's fair. No, that's fair. And that was the biggest problem that Hugh Jackson had.
It's a big reason why they didn't keep Bob Wiley. Freddie made that very clear when he responded to Bob Wiley's comments.
Mm-hmm.
Just basically said the guy had never shut up with the media.
Yeah.
So I don't want that guy on my staff, because if someone on my staff's doing that stuff, they're fired. So, you know, that I'm not saying those are the reasons. I'm just giving you plausible possibilities.
Yeah, we're speculating
as to why you don't keep that guy around. But, again, Freddie got to get it together. This is not a team that was built to win 2-3 years down the road. It was built to win today. And when you're awful, dumb, stupid, ridiculous coaching decisions cost you football games, and they cost you games in prime time, The Browns hadn't been on Sunday Night Football since 2008. Now, on the positive side, the defense played their hearts out. The Browns didn't embarrass themselves. They looked like a team that belonged on the same field with the Rams.
Agreed.
Just the execution down the stretch and the play calling down the stretch was lacking. I think those are fixable things. So all is not lost with that loss. I do agree with Freddie. Let's not panic. Let's not fire him yet. Let's not freak out. Let's see what they do in Baltimore. Let's see what they do when they go to San Francisco, come back home for Seattle, go into the bye week, how they respond coming out of the bye week with the Patriots. They still have plenty of room to do what I said they need to do, and that's be 4-4 through the first 8 games. And I warned everybody that they were going to lose some games that were going to make you scratch your head and throw some stuff at your TV, and guess what's happened? They've lost 2 games that made you scratch your head, throw some stuff at your television. So, was I surprised by the week 1 result? Absolutely. Didn't expect them to get blown out. I expected them to win that game. It was the Jets game I expected them to lose. I didn't expect them to beat the Rams. They played a lot better in that game than I expected because of all the injuries, especially on the defensive side of the ball. That being said, I'm frustrated because they could have won the game. They were good enough to win the game, and that's the issue. You know, this little narrative that's coming out of that Browns locker room, how we in the media think they all suck, is ridiculous. And I've heard multiple players say this over the last couple of weeks about, well, you guys all think we suck.
What?
Yeah. Or as Sheldon Richardson said after that game, you and the media think we're ass. No, we don't, Sheldon. We spent the whole offseason telling everybody how this franchise has finally arrived and how good you were and how you were going to make the playoffs and contend for the AFC North title. We were crowning you before you did anything. So the media is not telling the world or thinking that you're garbage. We have expectations for you. That's a good thing. That means we don't think you suck. We expect you to win every game that you play. Is that realistic? No, it's the NFL. You win some that you should not win, and you lose some that you should not lose. That's life in the National Football League. But the media doesn't think you stink, unless it's Colin Cowherd or Rex Ryan. But when you blow games, the media is going to be critical. That's how this all works.
Yeah, so, it is. And the thing to me, and I think fans are going to realize this, I think the Browns are realizing this, I think Baker Mayfield specifically realizing this, in any industry, our industry, any business, whatever you're doing as you listen to this podcast, whatever industry, it's the steps from going from bad to good, it's not as hard to climb that ladder. The ladder that's hardest to climb is good to great.
Yes, 100%.
You know, like it's really hard to be Tom Brady. And it's even crazier that he sustained it for as long as he has. That's why he's the greatest of all time, right? Like, Bill Belichick, the fact that they're able to do this year in and year out, it's insane. Like, the consistency behind it. But it's hard to do that for a year.
Yeah.
It's hard to do that for 2 years. It's hard, and that's the difference.
Let alone do it for 2 decades.
Correct. So, but getting to that level of even Sean McVay, I mean, think about how great he is. The Rams haven't looked great through 3 weeks. It's hard. So the Browns were good last year at the end of the year. They were never great. Not even then. Not even when they beat Denver. They barely lost to Baltimore, et cetera.
And had that season kept continuing, okay, they would have been a playoff team a year ago. Had, you know what I'm saying? Like, had the season started,
had they got on that roll 4 weeks earlier, or
right.
Yes, or there had been 4 more weeks. I get what you're saying. Yes. Yeah. But the thing is to go from a 10-6 team, let's just say they would have went to a 13-3 team that's a legitimate Super Bowl contender.
Very hard to do.
It's extremely hard. And so how Freddie and Baker and those guys respond to this adversity, because they're going to, if they don't lose Sunday, and I feel like they're going to win, actually. It's a tough game. We'll get into it. If they don't lose Sunday and they handle business against the Ravens, I think they're going to lose to the 49ers. Like, I don't think they go 2-0 out of the next two games. I think that's just really hard to do. Monday Night Football on the road. We'll see. I could be wrong. But Richard Sherman and those guys, they're no slouches there, right? But we know what Kyle Shanahan brings. So to me, they go 1-1 over the next two. And they're 2-3 after five games. It's, you're really going to see this team's character come through here, for better or worse.
Which is something that Freddie Kitchens has said from day one. You know, we're going to find out what type of football team we have when the adversity strikes. Well, the first adversity that they really faced wasn't after the blowout loss to the Titans. It was when the entire secondary got hurt before the Rams game. And you had everybody step up. You held that team to 20 points.
Mm-hmm. You would have taken that before the game. Right now, you would have easily, and honestly, if you would have told me the Rams only scored 20, I would have said the Browns win.
Me too. So that's a very positive sign. Very, very positive sign. Mm-hmm. So it's just little stuff that, you know, Freddie and Baker, they just need to clean up. And I think that if they're able to clean that stuff up, the Browns are going to be fine. And, you know, maybe
you mean, you mean Daniel Jones isn't better than Baker Mayfield, like some of these national pundits?
Not yet.
Good God.
Well, I mean, and then,
no, that's ridiculous.
I mean, this is the world that we live in. And I've talked about this, you know, on various shows. You know, we're in this hot take, instant reaction society today, both from a media perspective as well as from a fan perspective. You know, Rex Ryan getting on the air and saying that Baker Mayfield's overrated as hell. No, Rex, your coaching career was overrated as hell. You and your brother, okay? And your brother was here, so I can say that. The only thing entertaining about your defense was just listening to you run your mouth telling us how great it was, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I mean, and Colin Cowherd, he knows all he has to do is a little trolling of Cleveland or the Browns, and Twitter's going to blow up with bleep you, Colin. You suck, Colin. Like, that's what he, like, that it's a hot button for him to push. And unfortunately, right now, as he so eloquently said on Monday, the Browns are doing nothing to prove him wrong. Or as he put it, it's not hate when you're right.
Sure.
So,
and if I'm him, I'd feel that way right now.
Absolutely.
Baker Mayfield has struggled. Baker Mayfield was good last year. He wasn't great. He was good, and he's been bad this year. Through three games, he's been bad. Now, are there circumstances, part of the offensive line, is part of it Freddie Kitchens? Yeah, absolutely. Is part of it not having all of his weapons? I get it. Fine. But he hasn't been good.
No, he's not. And you know, the completion percentage is down drastically. The interceptions are up. Those are problems. I don't know that he's seeing the field as well as he did a year ago. He certainly doesn't look like he has any confidence in this offensive line. And to a degree, I understand why, but he's holding on to the ball much longer than he did a year ago.
Over 3 seconds.
The statistics show when he gets rid of the ball under 3 seconds, his completion percentage is almost 70%. And when he is hanging on to the ball beyond 3 seconds and he's having to think about things, well, his completion percentage is like around 50%. Speaks volumes. And that's part of the young player. I also think that some of the stuff that he's going through right now, these growing pains, are going to benefit him in the long run. The fact that this isn't just easy street for him, that he's having to work through some stuff. So it's too early to bail on Baker Mayfield. It's too early to bail on Freddie Kitchens. It's too early to paint this team with a broad brush and say that they're not worthy of the hype, or they haven't lived up to expectations or whatnot, even though I've referred to them as the underwhelming and disappointing Browns to this point, because they have been. They have been underwhelming. They've been disappointing. But there's a lot of season left. And there's a lot of opportunity here for them to correct the things that they need to correct. And if they do that, they're going to be in great shape. I still believe this is going to be a great second-half team. I really believe that the Browns, and a lot of it has to do with their schedule, okay? Buffalo's a better team than I thought they'd be, so that game's not going to be as easy. Pittsburgh sucks. Miami sucks. Pittsburgh sucks. Cincinnati blows. Arizona sucks. Baltimore's going to be a tough task. Cincinnati sucks again. That's potentially 7-1 down the stretch. potentially, or 6-2. I said that from day one, that that's what they were going to be down the stretch.
They're not sweeping the Steelers. You can say they suck all you want. It's still Pittsburgh.
I understand. I'm just saying the potential for them is there to go 6-2.
Just let you know. All right.
The one thing that they've never done is they've never beaten the Steelers and the Ravens in the same season.
Well, they're going to beat the Ravens Sunday.
And
that's a good segue.
They have never they've never swept the Steelers, and I do believe they swept the Ravens one time since the composition of this AFC North division.
So
more Sunday. Depressing stats.
No,
brought to you by me.
Sunday, I'm going to do the opposite. I'm telling they're going to beat the Ravens. I think they're going to go in there and beat the Ravens. They have just as much, if not more, talent. They're going to get Demaryius Randle back. He posted it on Instagram that he's going to be out of concussion protocol or is out of concussion. He implied it, right? So by the time you hear this, he's probably out of protocol. It seems like they're going to get a boost on that offensive line as well. Like it seems like they'll be healthier. I think Greedy's going to play this week. Who knows about Ward? And I'm speculating. It's Wednesday morning. We'll know more later today. So make sure you follow Daryl's work. We do got to get a break. All right, we'll break real quick, and then I'll explain why I think the Browns are going to beat the Ravens, and I'll ask Daryl the same thing. Plus, we got mailbag ahead with your Twitter questions and the tribe as the push for October continues. All that and more next on the Cleveland Sports Beat Podcast.
Dive into the start of summer at Whole Foods Market. Check out their Summer Splash event with sales on fresh organic produce, organic strawberries, and a fan favorite sale on Ben & Jerry's and Talenti. Explore deals on grill-friendly meats like organic air-chilled chicken breast, beef and chicken kebabs, all with no antibiotics ever from our meat department. Plus, grab easy sides from prepared foods and cool off with refreshing drinks. Kick off your summer and shop in store or online at Whole Foods Market today.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
So the Browns are going to beat the Ravens, Daryl. I think that. I really do. I think because they're extremely talented. I think this is a team that's going to be hot and cold, especially early on this year. And I think this is one of those weeks where they're going to be hot. And I get it. Oh, my God, it's Lamar Jackson, and it's the Ravens, and they almost beat Kansas City, and he's so hard to contain. And I think they handle business. I think that this is going to be one of those games they win. As of now, I'll say 27-24, and they really come out. They're going to be healthier than they were a week ago. Baker is probably tired of hearing about how he sucks, so he's going to suddenly see the field better. I think Odell Beckham Jr. might get a couple more slants. How's he going to take a slant to the house in week two? 89 yards, and they not use him in that way for most of that game. So, yeah, I think the offense responds well, rebounds, and they find a way to get a victory. Go ahead and shoot me down. Go ahead and do it.
I'm looking at the numbers for the Ravens right now.
Who have they played again?
Kansas, they're averaging 36.7 points per game. I realize
that they played again.
It's heavily inflated because of week one and the Miami Dolphins.
And who was week two?
512 yards of offense.
Yeah.
Over 215 yards rushing.
Aren't you the guy that doesn't believe in Lamar Jackson?
All ranked number one in the National Football League.
Just saying.
I never said that I don't believe in Lamar Jackson. I said I have reservations about his style of play
and
being successful.
Now he's just going to roll over Baker Mayfield. Now he's just the best quarterback in the division. If you want to crown him, then crown him then.
I'm not. I'm just saying, though.
The words of Delanie Walker.
The Ravens may be who we think the Ravens are. They are the favorites now to win this division.
Dennis Green. Yeah, of course they're the favorites.
So
I agree with that.
And then I look on the flip side, their defense. They're ranked third against the run. They give up just 60 yards. They give up 20 points a game. Right now the Browns are averaging around 15, 16 points per game. where I see an opportunity for the Browns and why I agree with you that I think that there is a good chance the Browns can go to Baltimore and win this game. They're stout up front. They're not so stout in the backfield. They're ranked 27th against the pass. And I think that with this receiving core that the Browns have, again, coaching, Freddie, are you listening? Freddie, are you listening? Quick hitters hit that secondary. Okay?
Mm-hmm. That's it.
That's the key to victory.
Let me tell you
Sunday.
About this Lamar Jackson trade, and I like Lamar. I was a big fan of Lamar coming out.
Listen,
hold on, and this Ravens offense. No, this is.
I like Lamar too. Don't paint this as you love Lamar and Daryl's crapping all over
I'm
Lamar.
Not. Listen though. Dolphins, Cardinals, Chiefs, trash, all trash ass defenses. None of those defenses are good. They're all awful. They're all ridiculously bad. None of those defenses are good. Tyrann Mathieu is the best player on the Kansas City Chiefs defense. They went out and get a pass rusher. They're still missing a guy or two. To me, they haven't been tested defensively yet. They haven't. The fact that they only scored 23 points against the Cardinals is ridiculous because Arizona's defense is insane. If the Browns don't drop at what is that, week 15? If the Browns don't score in Arizona 40 points, I'm saying this now. If they don't do that, that's a letdown. They should steamroll.
They should have scored 40 points against the Jets.
Maybe, but it's hard to get up for a game like that against a crappy opponent. Like, I get it. They were so banged up.
Hard to get up for that game on Monday Night Football, but they better go drop 40 at Arizona. Am I understanding the logic here correctly?
Yeah, absolutely. Okay. When you're talking about going up against Kyler Murray and Larry Fitzgerald.
I roll my eyes at you.
All of the stars for the Jets were out.
Oh, trust me, Baker will have
Le'Veon
no
Bell.
Problem getting up for that game because some guy named Cliff Kingsbury.
Correct.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
Don't want to drop 40. He wants to drop 60 in that
the
one.
The point is the Cardinals' defense is bad. The Ravens haven't been punched in the mouth yet because they haven't dealt with the physical defense. That's the key.
This is a winnable game.
They can do that, and I think that the Browns' offense is better than we've seen. That's why I have the Browns 27-24. Ha ha.
Well, I hope the offense is better than what we've seen because we haven't seen much.
Yeah, I mean, OBJ saved him against the Jets.
Yeah.
People forget about that.
Absolutely.
Talked about that last week. All right, let's before we dive into this mailbag, and then we'll get into the Indians, I'm going to bring it up again, and I text you about this after the podcast last week, after the rumors became more than rumors.
They're not making any trades.
They need to trade for Jalen. Why would you not go get Jalen? I'd give up Greedy, a first, and a third right now. Give me Jalen Ramsey. He'll be on one side. Denzel Ward on the other. Tom Brady, good luck. Myles Garrett is going to hit you hard. When they play after the bye week, go ahead.
They're not. I don't see them making a trade.
Why?
I don't.
Why?
Because first of all, guys are going to get healthy. Okay. The two players that went on injured reserve, in the last week here, Christian Kirksey and David Njoku.
Yeah.
What
does that have to do with Jalen Ramsey?
My point is that. Cornerback is not a problem on this team.
Oh, boy.
Okay? I would hear the argument if cornerback was a problem.
Oh, is that what we're doing now?
They have four corners on this team.
Okay.
You've got Denzel, Greedy, TJ Carey, and Terrence Mitchell. People forget, Terrence Mitchell and TJ Carey were starters last year. They're role players this year. They're coming off the bench this year. So they have depth at that position. Okay? The other thing you have to think of is cap management. If you trade for Jalen Ramsey, you have to give him $15 to $20 million a year. Well, if you're going to give somebody $15 to $20 million a year, why aren't you giving that to Jamarius Randle?
Because Jalen Ramsey's twice the player.
I'm painting the salary cap picture
here. I was just responding.
You've got Myles Garrett you got to take care of here coming up soon.
And you
got Baker you got to take care of in 2 years.
We've got a long ways away.
I understand that. But
why is everyone here talking about Baker Mayfield's next contract? We've got years before that.
Yeah, 3 years. But,
it's a long time.
But my point is.
LeBron came back for four. Three years is a long time.
Here's the thing, though. Jalen's contract, you're looking at a 5-year extension. So if my math is correct, that's year three of Jalen's extension for year one of Baker's. extension kicking in, if I'm lining those up correctly.
Sure.
Okay. Myles Garrett would then be in there.
How many players make it to the end of their contract?
Denzel
Ward has not earned an. Denzel Ward is years away from getting paid.
I understand that, but I'm just
fifth year option on him.
I'm just explaining to you that you've got some big contracts that are going to be coming up.
Another one that
while
people
Ramsey will
Nick
be
Chubb.
In a big contract.
Nick Chubb hasn't earned another contract. I don't even know why anyone's talking about him getting an extension. He's in year two. Like we don't need
the
to
reason,
fast forward here.
No, the reason why I'm fast forwarding here is because if you trade for Jalen Ramsey, it's not a rental because of what he's going to cost you to get him. And you have to extend him. And I'm telling you that from a salary cap economic standpoint, I don't know that the Browns can do that.
It costs you Demarius Randle. I would do it right now. See ya. You'll get a comp pick for Demarius Randle once he leaves in free agency. It's a third round pick, and you'll be able to either address safety in free agency or you can use it with one of the top picks in the draft. It's much easier to find a really great safety in round one or two than it is a great tackle anyway. So I'm just saying.
Yeah, but we're not talking tackle. We're talking corner.
No, I know. No, I know. I'm saying
are you
losing Randle. I'm saying Randle's replaceable.
Are you trying to slide in Trent Williams into this conversation
as well?
I'm
saying Randle's replaceable. I'm into trading for Trent Williams, too. The point is if you can go find great talent, Ramsey's certainly a great talent. The Browns didn't need Odell Beckham Jr. Think about the receivers they had. Jarvis Landry, Antonio Callaway, Rashard Higgins.
Yeah, they did.
They had re-signed Breshad Perriman. They could have spent the 17th pick or a second-round pick, or I think he fell almost to the third. It was the second round on DK Metcalf. They could have gotten another receiver. The point is, though.
They needed Odell.
Why do they need him? Because he's an elite talent.
Exactly.
Jalen Ramsey, elite talent. I get it. Cornerback isn't a position of need, but if you're going to go toe-to-toe with Tom Brady in Foxborough in the playoffs, and you damn sure aren't going to be hosting a playoff game against the Patriots, then guess what? You need to be able to shut down those weapons that he has and make Myles Garrett, give Garrett time to get to Brady. And the only way you can do that, think about it, Aaron Donald couldn't do that in the Super Bowl. The only way you're going to do that is if you have lockdown corners. I think it's a no-brainer. Go get Jalen Ramsey. If you can keep Greedy, that's great. I would love to. If you have to move him, I would move him.
Since we're doing some snap judgments here, you know what trade's not looking so good for John Dorsey right now?
Go ahead.
Olivier Vernon for Kevin Zeitler.
Yep. It's awful.
Have you seen?
Look good.
I don't notice Olivier Vernon on the field.
Nope.
Now, granted, he might be getting some attention, which is helping Myles Garrett. That's the balance you weigh there. He's not stuffing the box score or the stat sheet, but you know, he might be doing some he might be sacrificing his numbers and his stats to allow Miles to be doing what Miles is doing.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So let's be fair about that. But I'm just saying right now, looking at that, I would probably say that you want to talk about needs. I would say that the Browns need Kevin Zeitler a hell of a lot more than they need Olivier Vernon right now.
Well, when they picked Austin Corbett, there was a high-end pass rusher available by the name of Harold Landry out of Boston College. Guy I loved. I thought for sure they were taking him there. They would have nailed that entire draft, and they still nailed the draft. I'm not saying that. And instead, they picked Corbett, which people understood at the time.
Well, a lot of people around the league loved Austin Corbett.
But no, I agree. But
you know, that wasn't an outlier pick.
But
that was
not at all.
And that's why he took him 33, because he didn't think he was going to be there at 35.
Correct. But Landry, who fell to 40, I think, for Tennessee. We saw him, by the way, week one, and he made some plays. That's who you pick. If you end up picking him, you don't feel like you need another edge rusher. Hence, you keep Zeitler. Hence, the line isn't nearly, it doesn't feel as bad as it does now. But even so, the line's been okay. This is on Baker and Freddie. Let's be honest here. That's who it's on.
Yep.
And it's up to Baker to be great, and it's up to Freddie to figure out how the hell to be an NFL head coach and still call plays. And hopefully he can figure it out this week in week four. All right, let's get to the Indians. And not real quick, because this is crazy. We haven't talked enough about the Tribe recently. We need to talk about the Tribe. There's five games left. They're 93-64. The Indians keep surging.
And they got to win
all five.
They're
a locomotive. They might have to win all five. It's crazy. So as we record this, they're a half game behind Tampa Bay for the second wild card spot and a full game behind Oakland for the first wild card spot. Tampa Bay has four games left. The Indians have five games left. The Athletics have five games left. Whew, Jose Ramirez came back yesterday. I'm telling you now, I don't know if they get in. They could win 96 games and not get in. I mean, that's realistic. You know, they could go 4-1 down the stretch and only earn a game 163. But if they do find their way in, if Jose can be what we saw on Tuesday night, this team's – they're going to be a problem.
No, they're not.
They're going to be a problem if they get in and get that far.
No, they're not.
It's going to be hard to do. You can say no, they're not. But if I'm the Yankees, there's no way I want to see a lineup that has Lindor, Mercado, Santana, Puig, Ramirez, Reyes, Luplo. 1-7, that's a hell of a 1-7. And then you got Perez who can hit home runs as well. It's a hell of a lineup, dude.
I want them to get in. I just don't have any belief that they're going to make any noise in October. I think they can win the wild card game.
Yeah.
They're not knocking off the Yankees. They're not knocking off the Astros.
I think they could beat the Yankees. I don't think they can beat the Astros. I think the Astros are the best team in baseball. But, you know, barring injuries and stuff like that, maybe something breaks your way. But, no, I think they can beat the Yankees. I think that they have better pitching. I think their bullpen is great. Because I really do. Carrasco now looks like himself. Brad Hand looks like himself, by all accounts. They added the James Karinchak kid. And then, obviously, when you have Bieber and you have Clevinger. Dude, I don't think they're going to get that far. It's really hard for me to envision them winning all these must-win games, winning the wild card game, and then having enough gas left in the tank.
Yeah, see, it's
hard to do that. It really is.
If they get in, I have them a division round exit in 5 games. I think they lose game 5. They get to a game 5 and they lose it. But to even get in, and I'm so incredibly impressed with the job that Terry Francona has done. I got news for the fire Terry Francona crowd. First of all, you're a bunch of morons. And you know nothing about baseball. Because if you had any other manager managing this team, from a pure talent perspective, based on what they've had to work with this year, they're at best a 500 baseball team. They're an 81, 82, maybe 83 win team. They're already at 93. And that's including the crap that they trotted out there the first 2 months of the season.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Terry Francona's a Hall of Fame manager. He's one of the best in the game. He's excellent with reading his players. He's excellent at keeping the waters calm when everything is going awry. You know, when the seas get rocky, he's got everyone nice and calm.
Which is the number one thing
absolutely
a manager has to do.
Absolutely. He's one of the best in the game. And you idiots want to fire this guy. This is not...
I don't think a lot of people do. I think it's a lot of Twitter.
It's the vocal minority on social media.
And there are some, you're right, there are some websites and guys...
And those are the idiots I'm talking to right now.
The anti-bunt, you know.
Yeah.
It would almost be like if Bill Belichick decided to always run it on 3rd and 3.
Right.
And he's still Bill Belichick and he's still great. And Terry Francona, who bunts... and likes to bunt to get the runner over to second, or bunt to get the runner over to third. Okay, fine. That's your one gripe. He runs the ball on every 3rd and 3. Fine. But it's still great. Like, you take that little flaw.
That is his Metcalf up the middle.
Yeah. Like, you know, like, that's... I'll take it. You know, like that's the worst thing. Yeah, I'm with you.
So the job that he has done this year is incredible. The main reason I want to see them... get the wild card and get in is so that Terry gets the recognition he deserves. He deserves to be manager of the year. I don't think anybody has done a better job managing this year than Terry Francona has. And that's American and National League. He's been the best in baseball this year. He really has, considering all the injuries they've had,
mm-hmm.
the moves at the trade deadline, you know, the Carlos Carrasco story is beautiful. There's just so many things that could have caused this ball club to just completely implode and go off the rails. And not only have they not done that, we are sitting here, as you said, with 5 games to go. They have 93 wins. If they win all 5, that's 98. Still might not get them in.
Well, it'll get them guaranteed a
163 if they win out.
Yep.
They're guaranteed 163 if they win out, yep. Right? Okay. So basically, they do have to win out. They can't afford to lose a game because then you're counting on they're behind Tampa Bay, right?
Yeah,
they need. So you're counting on Tampa Bay to lose two games down the stretch. It sucks having your fate in somebody else's hands.
Well, you just need the Yankees to freaking handle business.
Yeah, I know. We got to root for the Yankees.
Yeah, put on your Yankees gear.
Oh God, that makes
pinstripes, baby.
That makes me physical.
Yeah. Where's Derek Jeter at? Bring him out of retirement.
That makes me physically
Yankees
ill.
Yankees needed a clutch hit yesterday and couldn't get it. Lose 2-1. The Rays have won four.
I needed the Red Sox to win the other day, and they lost. And I'm like, what are you counting on Boston to do anything for you?
Three out of four. They took three out of four from Boston, the Rays did, and they're all in extra innings.
Red Sox.
Two of them were in extra innings. Three of their wins were comeback wins. They were down 4-0 on Monday.
Why are all
the Rays score six runs to come back and win? Go ahead.
Some of my best friends are Boston fans, and it sucks.
Boston fans, it's all right. They're out of the playoffs.
Smile. I know, but still, counting on the Red Sox to do one thing, and they couldn't get it done.
Hopefully, the Yankees can get it done.
Worthless franchise.
There's a complete tiebreaker breakdown playoff primer that has the schedules and everything you really need to know as far as. Who goes where, what happens. And honestly, I wouldn't be shocked if they tie. I wouldn't be shocked if there's a three-way tie. You can check it all out at 923thefan.com. Plenty on the tribe there all week long as well. Daryl, before we get out of here, let's get to the mailbag that we're going to do weekly here on the Cleveland Sports Beat podcast. You can tweet your questions every single week on Twitter. At Right or Wrong Fan is Daryl's Twitter handle.
I'm going to ask you the first question.
I'm at James Erpine. All right.
Who goes? This is from Hammy Buck, who goes further in the playoffs, doesn't include game 163 or 164, starts at wild card.
Does that mean per round? I mean, it's much easier for the Browns if they qualify to win one game than it is for the Indians to win three games. But
I think what he's trying to ask here is how far do the Indians go?
Oh, okay. No, I mean... I'd still predict them to go to the ALDS, and that would be it. You know, assuming they get that wild card game, I like their chances if Bieber or Clevenger's on the mound. And right now, Bieber.
So you have them in ALDS exit.
And Bieber would be on the mound, yes. But if they get the Yankees.
It's exactly what I said. But he told me I'm nuts.
No, I didn't say nuts, but I think they have a shot to beat the Yankees. That's all. I do. I think they have a real shot. It would be like, you know, the Browns going up against, like, I don't know. The Patriots in the playoffs. You wouldn't give them a shot? No, the Yankees certainly aren't the Patriots. All right, let's continue. CJ says, Indians are playing better, but we'll be talking about how impressive the Browns are by December. I think that's interesting. Look, everyone keeps talking about that, but the Browns haven't looked good at all. Can we see them look good against the good team? They've got a bunch of good teams coming up. I thought that was going to be a good question. That's why I read it off Twitter, and it wasn't. But let's see how they fare against these good teams, because that's who they're going to play in January. That's where we are with the tribe, right? How do they play in the playoffs? Well,
right.
That's going to be the Browns bar the moment they make the postseason.
Let's see here. I'm looking for a question for you. Let's go with... I had more responses to my tweet last night in which I apologized for selling the Indians short.
Go ahead. Okay. Fire away, man.
No, I did. I sold them short. A lot of people are like, well, you ain't the only one.
I have one for me.
All right.
Sam says, would a 100% healthy Indians team from start to finish have clinched a playoff berth by now?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
I think so. Here's the thing. Injuries led to Oscar Mercado getting promoted. Injuries led to Aaron Civale getting promoted. Injuries led to, you know what I'm saying? Like, how much better would Corey Kluber have been than the way Civale and Plesac and those guys have pitched? Maybe better, but not a ton better. So, yeah, I think that the division would still be there. But would they be three or four games better? Yes. But it's again, they have 93 wins. They were never going to be the Yankees this year. They were never going to have 100-plus wins now.
But
they just weren't.
But with the team that they have, and considering they would. They'd have 96 or 97 wins
already.
Correct.
So they'd still be in the hunt for the division. And even though they haven't locked up a spot, I think they would have, worst case, had a wild
card. All right, this is from Pastor Sean 9. For me, will the Browns make a trade before the deadline, and who do you think it'll be?
Well, yeah, they're going to make a deal before the deadline. It's John Dorsey. I'll bet you money right now. They make a deal.
A deal? Yeah, he'll probably make a trade, but I don't think it's going to be a blockbuster.
It should be Jalen Ramsey.
I think it'll be...
Jalen! Lockdown City, baby! You know the vault at the 9? Lockdown! Lockdown! Opposing offenses won't be able to score. Jalen Ramsey on one side, Denzel Ward on the other, Miles Garrett off the edge, old Olivier Vernon, I can't believe I'm calling him old, slow, not game-changing Olivier Vernon on the other side, just wrecking dudes.
If they make a trade, it's not going to be a blockbuster.
Sione Taki-Taki coming off the... No, I'm just kidding.
What is Trent Williams' price from the Redskins? That from Eddie Kilroy. I guess the conversation's got to start at a 1. That's what's been reported out there, that's what Washington wants is a first-round pick for him.
Did you give him a 1?
I want to win the lottery, so...
Would you give him a 1?
Well, he hasn't played in a little while here, so... You know, they could trade for him tomorrow, and he's not going to be ready to play for a couple weeks.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a little bit of a factor all of a sudden. I think that's a legitimate factor now. He's not going to be able to help me for maybe 2-3 weeks. So am I going to give up a first-round pick for a guy that I've got to extend and is only going to be available for maybe half the season?
I would offer them my 2021 first-round pick. Because my 2020 first-round pick and my 2020 third-round pick is going to Jacksonville for Jalen Ramsey. So now you add Trent Williams to the line, Jalen Ramsey at corner, and maybe Baker Mayfield. Well, he's seeing ghosts there. When he runs out of the pocket, it's because he's seeing ghosts. I've seen it. You've seen it too. When there's a bad offensive line or an okay offensive line, and I think they've been okay, but the quarterback doesn't trust it, they bail early. He's bailing early. He's not stepping up. He's afraid he's going to get hit because he got popped a lot over the first couple of weeks. They need to figure that out because if you start seeing ghosts more and more, that impacts you the rest of the year. You don't just jump out of that. So hopefully they can figure that out.
Yeah, I don't disagree. Baker does not look comfortable back there. He doesn't look like he trusts his line a whole lot. And again, I think that's coaching and helping making him feel comfortable. And I think that's what Freddie's talking about, you know, putting him in better positions. But they got to get that figured out. And we'll see what they do in Baltimore. Hopefully you're right, and they go down there, they handle business. It's not going to be easy. Baltimore's a tough place to play. It's going to be an emotional day. Brian Billick is going into the Ring of Honor for the Ravens, so there'll be a lot of, obviously, pomp and circumstance with that. Baltimore's a tough place to play. It's a very good football environment, objectively speaking.
Who do fans hate here more, Brian Billick or Bill Cowher?
Ooh.
They're both rough, man. I mean, I grew up Cincinnati hating both of them. They're both ugly scowls on the sideline, you know, and they always... physical teams, and it always seems like they'd beat
up. I will say, the Browns tried to hire Brian Billick back in 99. Smartest thing he did was not take that job.
He's Joe Ryder. I'm James Rapine. That's going to do it for us. We do this every single week, so make sure you hit that subscribe button and give us a 5-star review on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, the radio.com app, or wherever you get your podcast. We'll be back next week. Until then, make sure you keep it locked on 92.3 The Fan and 92.3thefan.com for all of our articles on the latest Browns and Indians news as the Tribe push for the playoffs, as the Browns push for 2-2. We're going to get it done this week with our coverage. We don't know if the teams are going to win, but we got you covered at 92.3thefan.com. Thank you so much for listening. Until next time, thanks for listening to the Cleveland Sports Beat Podcast.
Dive into the start of summer at Whole Foods Market. Check out their Summer Splash event with sales on fresh organic produce, organic strawberries, and a fan favorite sale on Ben & Jerry's and Talenti. Explore deals on grill-friendly meats like organic air-chilled chicken breast, beef and chicken kebabs, all with no antibiotics ever from our meat department. Plus, grab easy sides from prepared foods and cool off with refreshing drinks. Kick off your summer and shop in store or online at Whole Foods Market today.